Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I'm your host, Patrick Lyons. Breaking down a somewhat disappointing series against the Los Angeles Dodgers because the Rockies were in all three of these games despite at least the score on Wednesday night. We've got some updates on the All-Star game voting, a little Milwaukee Brewers preview, but boy, oh boy, Rockies finished the first half. Not what we really consider the first half because that's the All-Star break. Right? But first half of the 162-game slate would be after Game 81, and that's what Thursday was. Rockies lose 3-1 in poor fashion on the final out there, but at 18-63 through the first 81 games of the season, that is the most losses a major league team has had through the first 81 games of a season in the modern era. And because this is exactly one half of the way through 162, you just need to multiply the wins and the losses by two to figure out what their projected win and loss total is going to be. That's 36-126 right now. That's their pace, worst ever in the modern era, should it happen to go that way. Rockies also now lost their first 13 series at home this year, and they've fallen to 8-32 at Coors Field. That's a pace for 16 wins and 65 losses. That's really rough. In a ballpark where the Rockies typically are around 500. Thursday was a good game. Wednesday was a good game as well, and it got out of hand in one moment, really. But Thursday was all within reach. Austin Gomber looked really good. Five innings, only allowed one run. Gave up four hits, only struck out one hitter, but he held the Dodgers to a single run for the second time in his career as a starter. So did his job and came out of the game with the score tied. And, you know, at 1-1, you would have thought that the Rockies would have been able to, you know, maybe capitalize a little bit on that momentum. Sure, Clayton Kershaw was still in the game at that point, but he would only have one more inning. After that point, you saw the bullpen starting to get loose. And so despite the fact that Kershaw, who needed eight strikeouts to reach 3,000, he got a couple early on that made you think, okay, there's a chance. His pitch count was really low. I think at one point he might have come out at 67 pitches, because he was very efficient and the Rockies were, you know, doing their best to try to get some good balls to hit. But through 69 pitches, 41 strikes, six innings, only allowed two hits. They were the only two hits the Rockies would get all game. Gives up the one run, walked one, struck out five. So now in his next start, he'll reach 3,000. Really hoping that not only just myself got a chance to see 3,000 strikeouts, but for Rockies fans in general as well that were there to witness history. Would have been, you know, the second Mr. 3000, if you will, in the past decade, with Ichiro having gotten it done with his 3000th hit and then maybe 3000 strikeouts. Would have been really cool to witness that, but alas, it doesn't happen. And hey, if you're saying, well, Patrick, you can't possibly root for that and root against the Rockies, I will say I am an unbiased journalist first and foremost, and B, you could still strike out eight times and win a ball game. We've seen the Rockies do crazy things like that. But the game ended in a I'm not going to say crazy fashion, but it was really disappointing. I got the feeling that the game was going to end with a double play just because the Rockies couldn't really muster a lot. Tyler Freeman did get a leadoff walk, which unfortunately did snap his 12-game hitting streak, continued his on-base streak, but that snapped his hitting streak. And you got a fly ball from the next batter in Jordan Beck. And then Estrada comes up, and that's where I thought, oh boy, Estrada doesn't get down the line very quickly. 4-6-3, 6-4-3, not sure which one. And Estrada hits a fly ball to center field. And Freeman, getting his lead off of first base, got a little too far out. Páez made an athletic catch on the run, fired to first base, double play. Not the way anybody would have drawn that up. And Warren Schaefer said postgame, you can't do that. You can't. And Freeman's been a guy. He's been a Schaefer guy that has benefited from the managerial change for the Rockies. And yet he got caught out there a bit too far. Sure, you have to trust your speed. I think some of it could have gone down to Andy Páez almost deking Freeman a little bit, because from my vantage point, it looked like Páez was almost crouched a little bit as he ran to suggest like, oh, I'm going to have to get down and dive for this ball. And if I have to dive for this ball, I've got to get up before I can fire. So you know what? You might be able to be another step and a half away from first base in your lead and waiting to see that if I will catch it or not. And I think that could have been a little bit of a deke. And so he catches it, stands right back up very easily, makes a throw on one hop to Freddie Freeman. And I don't think it was one hop. I think it might have been in the air. Regardless, made the throw. And I think there might have been a little gamesmanship there on that. And so that was, not an ideal way to finish up the game for a guy that's been playing really well in this month of June with a batting average over 400 entering Thursday and an on-base percentage just under 500. You know, he ranked second in Major League Baseball in the month of June for batting average and on-base percentage, and he was sixth with six stolen bases. So Freeman's still doing a really great job. Just one of those mental blunders and decisions that is, you know, you're going to lose games if you are not a dominant club. You have to play almost a perfect game. You have to have, like in tennis, zero unforced errors. You just can't have that happen. And with the middle of the order coming up, Tolia was on deck. You didn't have Hunter Goodman in this lineup. He did not start the game. Neither did Ryan McMahon. Ryan McMahon came in the game late to pinch hit and then stayed over at third base for Orlando Arcia. But you had Goodman to utilize off the bench. You wouldn't have used him more likely than not against Tanner Scott with Tolia up at the plate. But Mickey Moniak, who entered the game late and was serving as the DH, that left-handed bat, yeah, of course, you're going to go to a right-handed bat in Hunter Goodman. So Tolia, you know, had he been able to come up, had that fly ball from Estrada only been a single out, you'd have seen Goodman in the on-deck circle. And unfortunately, that doesn't end up happening. You would have needed Tolia to reach base. You know, if he gets an RBI, you're still down 3-2. But he gets on base, the winning run is at the plate in Hunter Goodman, and unfortunately, that doesn't happen. Brent Doyle had one of those two hits against Kershaw. He got the day off on Wednesday, and sure enough, was rested, worked on a couple things, paid off his first plate appearance of the game against Kershaw. He homered, snapped a 21-game drought without a homer, his first since May 27th. At Wrigley. And so that was a good knock for Brent Doyle, who has really looked a lot better defensively over the past week. I wouldn't say he's looked totally lost before that, but he just hasn't looked like Brent Doyle in the field. I think you're watching him at the plate. Sure, there are holes there. There might be some concerns, but I think some people had those concerns about him offensively after his breakout season last year, almost like, you know, this was going to be and is his sophomore season. Like, now is his sophomore slump. His rookie year, he came up because there was nobody to play center field. The team didn't want to run Jonathan Daza out anymore. And Doyle, who had already won a minor league Gold Glove Award in the minors, was going to get the job done defensively in center, and there's a benefit to that. And so, hey, let's run this guy out there and let's see if he can kind of tread water just a little bit. And he was, you know, he was able to do that to a degree. But you know, the batting average right at the Mendoza line, not great. Consider the fact that he had, I forget what the number was, something like 80 plate appearances at AAA between the end of 2022 and the beginning of 2023 before he got called up. So, you know, he might not have been ready at the plate. And then 2024, okay, now I'm ready to take on this season of big league pitching. And you saw some serious improvement. Now teams are making those adjustments on him. So he's hitting more sixth and seventh in the Rockies lineup, which I think is a better spot for him this season. But he's, you know, perhaps getting out of this funk for his 2025 season on the field just a little bit. And we might, like, just like with Ezekiel Tovar, it's crazy how both those guys took steps forward in 2024, and throughout 2025 may end up just being a total wash with Tovar's oblique injury, which is something that Warren Schaefer did talk about, saying, you know, he's a ways off. I think I mentioned that on yesterday's show. But okay, you don't want him to get ruined. You don't want him to not be able to start 2026 with a fresh slate. And then you've got Brendan Doyle where you're saying, yeah, you know what? This season could be a wash. So let's do what we can now to make sure 2026 can be that much better. Ohtani homered on Thursday, his 28th of the season, his third over his last four games at Coors Field in 17 games. Dude is batting .391 with a .451 on base percentage and a .781 slug. Five doubles, one triple, six homers, 17 RBI over 17 games. In Denver, has four home runs in five games against the Rockies this season. And I think he tied a record, Duke Snider and maybe one other, who Dodgers franchise record for most home runs within the first 82 games of a season. So now he has got 28. Freddie Freeman, he was not good this series. He had a ball on Wednesday night go through his mitt. Not his fault. I could hear the ball crack through his mitt from the press box. I didn't think it went through his mitt initially. I just could hear the ball hit the leather, and then it trickled at the back, and Freeman just cool as a cucumber, like, yeah, my mitt's broken, so I got to go get a new one. He caught a line drive on Thursday and, you know, tapped the back of the mitt in the ball. That was the final out of the inning, and just kind of had a nice little laugh, like, hey, thank you, glove, for pulling through for me like that. But he was 0 for 11 at one point in this series. The game on Tuesday, I was crunching the numbers because I uploaded some video of Freddie Freeman taking batting practice. It's something that I know some fans are interested in seeing what the pregame rituals are of some of these players, and looked a little closer at the box score. Hey, he was 0 for 5. He struck out two times. Has that happened with him? You know, for a guy that's a career 300 hitter who's, I think, second in the National League in batting average, that's certainly a rarity. And so there's been 23 times in his career that he had five at-bats, no hits, and struck out two or more times. And it was the first time that ever happened to him at Coors Field. So already, radar, my ears were up. They were perked. Went 0 for 4 on Wednesday. I think he was 0 for 1, maybe even 0 for 2 to start the game. But in the sixth inning, gets the go-ahead RBI single and against Angel Chibiji, who couldn't really keep the Dodgers down. Dodgers end up scoring there in the sixth. They score again in the seventh. That was the home run for Ohtani against Tyler Kinley, who gave up a grand slam to Max Muncy on Wednesday night, which ended up really being the final dagger. That's the clip you would have seen of just Coors Field going crazy, or really the Dodgers fans in Coors Field going crazy. And, you know, that's the series for the Rockies. They lost Wednesday 8-1. But in this game, we had ourselves a pitcher's duel between Yoshinobu Yamamoto and Chase Dolander. And Chase was just as good, if not slightly better, than Yamamoto. He didn't have as many swing and misses as Yamamoto, but Dolander was matching him. And we get to the sixth inning. He gets two outs. There's two runners on board. And I think this might have also been Max Muncy. Hits a pop-up as the rains are starting and you're seeing people scurry, there's a message on the Rockies vision, on the Jumbotron saying, there's possible weather in the area. And then within 4 seconds, the possible says severe weather in the area. So they change that right away. And as everyone's ducking for cover, you can see this video over on social media, over on X and Blue Sky. I'll eventually upload it over onto YouTube. But you can see people behind home plate scurrying for cover because it's starting to pelt. It's starting to come down hard and the temperature is dropping rapidly. And Dolander does his job and he gets a pop-up to the right side of the infield by Muncy. And Tyra Estrada does not see the ball, looking up into the lights, into the rain. And Michael Tolia didn't see the ball at all off the bat. And the ball drops in. Rockies TV had a cool graphic. I think it was from StatCast, but it showed a ball hit at that exit velocity, at that kind of launch angle. Here's where the ball would land. And then it showed where the pop-up that Muncy hit against Dolander actually did land. And it ended up shifting something like 15 feet towards the foul line. And that ball drops in. All two, both runners end up scoring. Then they decide, okay, let's bring the tarp out. And after an hour 27 rain delay, temp dropped a lot. It felt really nice. But after the rain delay, Jake Bird comes out and, he ends up giving up an RBI. And so those three runs get charged to Chase Dolander, who doesn't finish the sixth because of the rain delay and misses out on what would have been his third consecutive quality start. And it just leaves a sour taste in your mouth because this was a young man in his rookie season in his first time pitching against the NL West rival Los Angeles Dodgers. He was just as good as the highest paid starting pitcher in baseball history in Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Yeah, don't forget, he's getting paid more than Gerrit Cole. And he got that contract even before he threw a pitch in MLB. But Dolander was matching him. And so that was just heartbreaking to see that. It really was. That was rough. And then, the game, how it ends on Thursday. And it just feels like, there's things aren't going the Rockies' way, but sometimes you do have to make your own luck. But luck is the residue of design. And so Rockies, the only luck that they have right now would be their bad luck. Attendance-wise, we did not get three sellouts for the Dodgers. Had this been a weekend series, we would have. But no, it's three during the week. School's out on the West Coast and in Colorado. 36,000 on Tuesday, 43,000 on Wednesday night, 38,000 for the day game. So you got to imagine the Rockies might be a little disappointed. I think they were, again, they don't make their schedule up. But with the weight that Dick Monfort carries within the commissioner's office, I think the schedule, every team gets to have their preferences and says, hey, we would like this. We want to be home on the 4th of July, which the Rockies are. We'd love to play a team that doesn't have any juice on our opening game of the season at home, because people are going to show up anyway. Who did the Rockies get? Well, they got Oakland. They got the A's. Final month of the season. Well, we're not going to be in it, so we don't want to be playing baseball in Denver for the final week of the season because we're going to be so far out of it. So we'll go on the road. Yep, that's what the schedule has for this. At home on the 4th of July. And who do they get? Give us the worst possible team because people are going to show up regardless. Yep, you got that in the Chicago White Sox. So, the Rockies aren't necessarily getting everything that they want, but the schedule looked mighty delectable if you were drawing it up. And you got the Dodgers during the week because people are going to come out to see them. Coming out to see the Cardinals on the weekend is going to get a certain percentage more than if they play during the week. And I would have guessed, assuming the Rockies did too, but I would have guessed that the Rockies would have had the same sellout attendance, right? Once you sell out, you sell out. That they would have had the same sellout type of environment during the week for the three games with the Dodgers. And they still have four more coming up when school is back in session in August. I think it might be the end of August, but it's a Monday through Thursday series where the Dodgers come to town. And
no one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
School's going to be in, and careful what you wish for. So they might be hurting for some sellouts there as well. Got a random email that they're running a promotion at Coors Field that some of you might want to take advantage of. And again, I'm not one to judge. As I said, I am an unbiased journalist that is just trying to give you the news, give you the facts, give you the fun on top of all of it. So you make your own decision in regards to spending your money and putting it in Rockies ownership's pocket. But there's a July promotion for all 12 games in the month of July, $39.99, sustaining room only ticket that you would get, but you could go for 12 games for only $40. Two fireworks nights, all the other giveaways. I don't know that there's a ton of good ones left on the calendar, to be honest, but you get the Cardinals series, the Astros, the White Sox, which comes on the 4th of July weekend, and the Twins for $40. That's pretty good. All-Star Game voting phase two. Hunter Goodman did move up between the first update and the final update, but alas, it was only one spot. He finishes in fourth despite being tied entering Thursday for the major league lead in June in extra base hits with 15, tied for second in total bases, and just a guy that is, I think, fifth right now for qualified hitters in the NL in batting average. And unfortunately, he is the only Rocky in the top 10 at any position, which is just kind of the way things go when you're going to get one representative. We'll find out on, oh shoot, I forgot the date now, July 6th. So two Sundays, we'll find out on ESPN. They'll do a whole award show and we'll find out who the Rockies' lone representative will be. Money's got to be on Hunter Goodman, right? Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani finished the leading vote getters in the AL and NL. So those guys automatically in. And when you look at the finalists, so there's only a couple days where you have an opportunity to vote. So all the votes from the phase one, gone. Everyone's at zero. The top two guys at each position, they are now at zero. Now we reset. So you could go and look and you could cover, I think, all nine, or rather you can get nine teams covered in the American League, because it's kind of, you know, fairly laid out. So you could get, I think, nine different teams you could vote for. It might end up being eight because, it is going to be eight that you vote for. So maybe it'll be more like seven. But that's nice to see. Whereas in the National League, there's not as many options team-wise. Dodgers have one guy at every single position that are in the top two in voting. The Mets have a couple. The Cubs have a couple that have moved on to phase two. So not as many choices there for you. But go out and vote and make a difference for the 2025 All-Star Game in Atlanta. We've got the Brewers series, a quick three-game set with the Brew Crew, and then Rockies come back home, off day on Monday, and then six at home against the Astros, White Sox, and then they go out to Boston, which I will be there covering that series. Very excited. But today, Friday, 6:10 Mountain Standard Time. Hopefully, by the time you're listening to this, maybe they've updated it on MLB.com, but if they haven't, you will now know. Kyle Freeland, mark my word, he's going to get the start, come off the IL on Friday against Jose Quintana, who's been very good, 5-2, 2.98 ERA for the Brewers. On Saturday, moving that start time up to 2:10, Antonio Senzatella against Quinn Priester, who's also 5-2 with a 3.68 ERA. And then on Sunday, Herman Marquez, who did speak with him on Wednesday, had a laugh because his ERA improved by nearly half a run. The from the game on Tuesday, Tolia made those two errors and sort of had another miscue at another spot in that fourth inning. Well, he gave up, six runs were scored. Four were deemed earned. I think that put him at a 6.26 ERA when he went to bed. When he woke up in the morning, they made a scoring change and said, actually, all four of those earned runs are now, or all four of those unearned runs are now zero unearned runs. So his ERA dropped a half a run to 5.79, something like that. And so we all kind of had a laugh talking about that. Like, yeah, I must have had a good night's sleep. Like, I definitely must have done something right. Because, you know, he said he had gotten six outs, and I joked, you know, well, can they give you five innings pitched instead of four? Because you got those six outs, right? And, you know, his ankle was a little bit swollen, but didn't have it wrapped up or anything on Wednesday afternoon. So he should be good to go on Sunday against rookie Chad Patrick, who's been one of the better rookie pitchers in the National League. I got to talk about this soon. The NL Rookie of the Year award race is just wide open. And I said at the beginning of the year, if Chase Dolander can have a low four ERA this season, he has a shot, so long as nobody else runs away with it. And right now, no one's run away with it. So if in the second half, Chase can continue to pitch really well and get that ERA down, and someone like a Dylan Cruz doesn't get hot, and rookie Sasaki, you know, doesn't get hot when we finally see him again, which, you know, we're not. I mean, Drake Baldwin, there are rookies out there that are playing well. But nobody right now that you're looking at saying, this is the guy. Like in the American League, how we say that about Jacob Wilson of the A's. It's not the case in the National League. So Chad Patrick, tip of the cap to him, because he's pitching really well as a rookie. So we'll see what Dolander can do. And I'll see if I can get you another one for this weekend. Otherwise, you know, you'll hear me after the Brewers series. And you'll hear me before the Astros series. And I'll do the thing that I like to do. And I like to do some of that stuff over on the social media as well, at Patrick D. Lyons or at Patrick D. Lyons MLB. Man, there's stuff that I wanted to talk about that I had posted on X and Blue Sky, and I didn't get time to cover that. So maybe tomorrow, we'll see. But appreciate you joining me. Appreciate you dropping by and subscribing to the podcast. Subscribing to the YouTube channel now, just went over 400. Subscribers. So that's a nice little milestone to get to. Hopefully can reach 500 by the end of the year. And that'll allow me to, you know, maybe do a few more things, because at 500 followers or subscribers on YouTube, you can begin to monetize your videos, which again is going to free me up to do a few more things here and there. So please go over and subscribe, help out. It's a nice way to contribute to the entire Rockies insider community that's out there. So appreciate you dropping by. Appreciate this momentum. But unfortunately, this momentum is only as good as my next show. So of course, I'll talk to you tomorrow.